On this week's show,
we've seen the Marvel's Endgame trailer, and it's been confirmed that it looks like we're going to have a mystery hero fly out of somewhere, up someone's arse, and expand to the size of a building. Right? That's how it goes, yeah?
No, nice. Just no.
Okay. And I want to talk about the new Clown Man trailer. Well, it's called The Joker, but you can't really do a fucking origin story on The Joker. That's doing it like doing an origin story on herpes.
Star Trek Discovery. Fuck off. I'm done. No, that's it. I'm done. Fuck off. Not watching this. It's shit. Fucking Pillars of the Past. Fuck off. Stay tuned.
Oh, fuck off. I'm doing Stay Tuned. Stay Tuned.
Stay Tuned.
Oh, fuck off all of you.
I can stay.
And now we can stop. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, space gods, lunatics, people who get awards, people who don't get awards, the cast of Star Trek Discovery, you're going to be out of a job soon, guys, so start looking, and people who think they are ticks. Welcome to this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast, and I have a man whose first love is the ocean, and it's his mistress. It's Captain Birdseye himself, the King of the Cod, is Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello. You alright?
Yeah, apart from I think I've set my fucking mic way too sensitive to start there. I've set Keith off.
Have you been shouting in people's ears?
And a man who can only be described as wearing the same fucking t-shirt he wore last week when he came over. And I know that because the weird logo at the top is just baffling. It's Keith.
Hi. Okay. I have a limited wardrobe.
Yes,
here,
yes,
I
because,
do anyway.
Yeah, in the UK you got limited wardrobe. I'll give you that. Okay, so just this week we will be talking about the Avengers trailer that came out, the Joker trailer that came out, the gaming BAFTAs, Star Trek Discovery because Keith can't get a fuck enough of it apparently, and
no,
Amazon's The Tick.
We are forgetting something, but we should tell
them.
Oh,
no, hang on. I was going to say, we will be putting out a Shazam special.
Spoiler special.
Separate from this one, so what you can do is you can avoid listening to that, watch Shazam or not watch Shazam, and then listen to it at your leisure. So, first things first. New Avengers trailers came out. They were fucking miles better than that black and white shit we had a couple weeks back.
I think they actually showed us some stuff of the film.
Yes, they did. They did show stuff of the film. Nige, have you seen the trailer? There's two of them at least.
Yeah, there's been, what, two? Three now?
I think there's
three trailers?
I think there's three, but I could only find two just before we started. Because there's the Together one, where we fight together, or something along those lines.
And then there's the Thanos one.
Then there's the Thanos I One trailer.
Yeah.
And then there's another one.
I think there's meant to be a featurette with which is interviewing Robert Downey Jr. But all three of these trailers kind of, unless Marvel Studios are really fucking with us, which they potentially could be, Tony Stark makes it back to Earth. There is a potential that when we see him hanging around in that ship, it's after, because you see all of them flying off again in the same ship, leaving Earth. Did you notice that? Because the ship stuck in space we got in the first trailer, right?
Yeah.
Was totally fucked up, can't fly anywhere, no fuel. And then we just saw the ship leaving Earth.
Can I throw a massive spanner in your theory?
Go on.
The Iron Man suit, the helmet that he's talking to.
Yeah.
It's a different one to the one that he was wearing in the new Iron Man suit that he had.
Yes. So maybe, but I don't
spanner.
Know. I still think they're fucking with us.
They change those special effects all the time. Because remember, they did the Hulk in Wakanda last time.
I think they're fucking with us.
They could be fucking with us, but what it does look like from the trailer is it looked like they go to have a pop at Thanos and they fail miserably the first time around. And then Thanos then comes to the Avengers HQ in Surrey, because it's in Surrey, not... and is in line near me. So yeah, they take a pop at the Avengers HQ and destroy that. And then I think they come back from their time traveling or quantum realm antics and then have a pop at Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet. He doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they then that's the fight, and the three of them take him on.
At least we know one thing. And what? It's been confirmed. Ant-Man does not kill Thanos by jumping up his asshole and expanding to big.
I'd just like to point out, yeah, there is a problem with that theory, yeah? And the problem goes like this, yeah? There's a good chance that Thanos' asshole is like granite. So when he expands into it, he gets crushed to death in Thanos' asshole. That's the
danger. He would crush himself, wouldn't he?
Yeah. It would probably work better if he went through his ear and into his brain and then expanded. But
yeah. Wouldn't be as funny.
It wouldn't be as funny.
No.
But the trailer. But the trailer was a good trailer though.
Yeah, the one I saw. Maybe it was. I saw a slightly different one. They sort of cut the three trailers into the one video, so it sort of like moved on from one to the next. One of them was where Ant-Man is knocking, I think it was one of the early ones, Ant-Man is knocking on their door.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going, hi, it's me.
That's the
like,
first one.
Yeah, it's a very
how
first
old
one.
Is, yeah. How old is, yeah, how old is this video sort of thing?
Yeah, well, no, because no, that's live. In the past, because the timestamp on it says 96 or something.
Mm.
So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what they do there, because maybe it's... I think
this is the first trailer where they've actually shown us something of the film, but I still think they're fucking with us. The Russo brothers have been known to fucking screw with you, and I think they're proper screwing with us here.
Yeah.
As I said the other week, like, they could just put out Thanos taking a shit for 2 minutes. Everybody's going to go and see this film.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a fucking art house piece, though. It's an art house. It's in black and white with moody violin music. Just sitting on his fucking porcelain throne, and it's a throne. Just squeezing, curling one out, and it's like, just and then it just cuts to it, and you see it in the toilet.
I won. What? I won. What, you think it's going to be another film? That's what I think of this. Take a look at this big shiny turd.
Yeah. What,
hang on. If you take a closer look at it, it's got Captain Marvel.
Captain fucking Sparkle fists. Yeah, it's... I'm excited now.
I have enough faith in Marvel that Endgame will be epically awesome.
I hope it is. If they ruined it with Captain Marvel, that's it, I'm done.
I don't think they were... I quite like the bit that we've seen of her in the trailer with Thor. I do quite like that.
Oh, was that her?
At least she smiles.
Yeah, the Russo brothers made a fucking emote. Because you will fucking smile, bitch.
I didn't realise that was her because she smiled.
And she looked normal. Yeah, she didn't look like pissed off soccer mom.
In fairness, right, that was just the trailer. She does smile in the movie. She does. She does emote in the film. Yes, the trailers were badly cut together. She even managed to land the odd joke that works. She lands a lot that don't work, but she lands some that do work. It's just a shame that the actress is a bit of a cow.
Yeah.
Because, Black Panther, there was all that political bullshit around that, but at least the actor isn't an arsehole.
The cast tried to avoid it, though.
The cast, they did.
They did. They did their best to avoid it, which I do appreciate. And it's one of those things where it was getting too political, and I just like, I don't want to get involved in this shit. I'll step this one out. There's plenty more.
I still quite like Black Panther. I genuinely do. I am not a fan of Captain Marvel because it's just nothing to it. There is. You know, I don't quite see how people can defend this film. I don't, but that's, because it's just no storyline. None. Mm. There's no character development. There's nothing. Oh, there's a funny cat.
It's ironic that a feminist character gets a cat. As I said, with the rise in feminism, invest in fucking cat food, mate. It's going to make a fortune. There's going to be a lot of lonely women out there at the end of the day who were feminists and found out that that's not how you attract a man.
Ooh, controversial, Gareth. Controversial.
Yeah, but it's a surefire way of making money, mate. So you have to understand that. Okay. All right. So we're all excited for it. Is there any other theories apart from climbing up Thanos' arsehole, Nigel?
He climbs through his ear.
No, and now it's through his nose, through his mouth.
Nose.
Through his penis, through his... Yeah. Urethra.
Through his Jap's eye, yeah.
I didn't want to say it. Didn't want to say it. This is fucking...
You're not having any more daughters, you fucker.
I don't sound rude or anything. This is why we didn't get the Marvel gig.
I got sent this picture the other day. Apparently, what's his face that plays Star-Lord was gunged.
Was he now?
On stage when he was doing something recently, and it was green gunged.
Chris. Yeah, Nickelodeon.
There's a meme going around the moment that you realise Gamora's a squirter.
Oh. Oh, no. Yeah, it was green
so
gunged.
Wrong. But it didn't make me laugh.
I've watched that with the kids, not the squirter. I watched the
Nickelodeon
Awards.
I hope you
didn't
show your kids that one. Daddy,
what's the squirter? I watched the Nickelodeon.
Oh, that's an awkward one.
Yeah. Too soon for that convo. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a conversation you ever have with your kids, mate.
No. But, mate, that's what schools are for.
Sure, schools don't cover that.
No, I don't think they do.
I hope not. That's worrying because yeah, I'm not
the parent
about
teacher.
My kids' curriculum.
A parent's teacher, I should really ask, oh, do you cover squirting in sex ed?
No, I got a sure. Fucking terrible. Okay. Avengers trailers.
Yeah,
we're all excited. We're all going to go and see it, yeah?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
We're too excited.
Don't you fucking start.
It's 2 weeks away, isn't it? I think I'm away for the weekend. I'm gonna. Luckily, I know there's a cinema but nearby. And I might be away for a romantic weekend, but darling, we are going to see Endgame.
Yeah.
This
that'll
is romance.
Yes. This is the way to my heart, dear.
Not just food.
I was going to say something about food then.
No. Yes, you need to wine and dine me a bit.
It's weird. The other thing too is I keep turning to Nige here on the screen, even though he's up there on the fucking camera. So I'm like talking to Nige's face here.
Just, hello.
Sorry. So something hidden that you guys can't appreciate that when you're in the same room. Okay. The next one was Clown Man, the film. Or the Joker trailer. I watched this, and okay, let's hear Nigel's opinion because I've heard your opinion and you've heard my opinion. So,
okay, my initial thoughts were they're trying to do it. Do you remember how? Which program was it? Supergirl TV show. Supergirl.
Yeah.
They got the Sons of Liberty, and they're led by. What's his face? With the fucking bum chin. His story was basically he's a really nice guy, thinks aliens are friends, he's got a bit of a shit dad who reckons otherwise. Some stuff happens in his life which turns him to a bad guy. That's what they seem to be doing with Joker.
Okay.
Good guy, looking after his mum. Doing all the right things, something happens in his life.
Yeah.
Boom. He's a psycho. I think they're trying to give you a little bit of empathy towards him because they show him quite often getting beat up and beat down by people randomly. Like, for example, he's in the street, dressed as a clown. Holding one of those signs up saying, come to our pizzeria. And he's doing the twirly thing with the... And the kids nick it. He chases after him to get his sign back and they beat the shit out of him. I think they're trying to make you feel empathy towards this guy.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking...
No, you're
I
not,
don't
actually.
Know the backstory.
No, it's the Killing Joke story where it's the... it's the guy who is the comedian and everything. He has that one bad day. That pushes him over the edge. He's I can't remember how it goes exactly, so forgive me if I get this wrong. his wife miscarries. He gets thrown off a comedy spot. He then joins a gang where they set him up to take the fall. He then falls into a vat of things after being punched by Batman. Yeah, and he's under the impression that one bad day can turn you into a monster. And I don't know if they're going to do it like that. Maybe. I think it's this. I look at this and I think this is Clown Man the movie.
Well, it
not Joker movie.
The trailer gives you. I mean, it's kind of helped by the fact that there's a Robert De Niro's in it. It kind of gives you the impression of a crime, kind of Martin Scorsese style crime movie. You know, a bit like what was it, Casino? It kind of gives you that kind of feel. I don't see the point in this film because you can't. It kind of Batman and the Joker. Neither one can exist without the other one. It's kind of like a.
No, Batman can exist without Joker.
Yeah,
but
Joker is arguably Batman's greatest villain, arguably. But they've already done a kind of Joker crime movie in the fact that the Dark Knight, that was your Joker Martin Scorsese style crime movie with Batman added in. I mean, you can never beat Heath Ledger. I don't think there is ever going to be anybody that tops Heath Ledger's Joker in that style of film. And don't get me wrong, I think Joaquin Phoenix is a bloody good casting, but I don't see the point in this. There's no Batman in it. And even if there is, even if they do what they did with Suicide Squad, where, you know, it's just, you know, Batman silhouetted in the background other than one quick scene with Ben Affleck's Batman. And obviously it isn't going to be Ben Affleck's Batman. They haven't cast Batman. This isn't in the DCEU or whatever it is now. What's the point in this film? I don't really see the point of this film.
Yeah.
Why aren't they using actors who have been in fairly successful movies for DC in this Joker movie?
Because they've kind of... The fact is that it's still not 100% confirmed that Henry Cavill has left the role of Superman. We know that Ben Affleck has left the role of Batman. I have a theory which I'll bring up in our Shazam special about the way DC are going. This movie does not fit into that. So, but I think they've said that this is just a standalone thing. I don't see the point.
Is it? I don't know if you share this opinion, but do you think, taking Joker aside, with how they started things with Batman versus Superman? With, you know, Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, and then they introduced Wonder Woman, right? Then you had Wonder Woman come in, have her own film, blah, 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 blah. Do you think they should have gone the same way as what Marvel did with their universe, film universe, and have the same actors sort of maybe popping into each other's films, here and there, and build a fucking universe like that,
that's
using the same actors...
I think that's what they've been trying. That's what they were definitely doing, but they picked the wrong guy to start it. Zack Snyder's view just did not really gel with the fans. If you watch the last three movies, if you look at Wonder Woman, and then you look at Aquaman, and then you look at Shazam, they're going in a very clear direction in the fact that they are effectively, literally putting what's on the comic book on screen. Especially with the ending of Shazam, which we'll go through later. I think I know what the Batman's going to be. And if I'm right, I think it might work. I think they are literally going with the sort of 60s, 70s Batman. Not the uber gothic Batman, but a lighter version of it. And sticking that up on the screen. And I think that's where DC are going to go. So I think they're going to rebuild the DCEU, but that would explain why possibly they're recasting Batman, which would make sense, going for a younger Batman, and recasting Superman, again, makes sense if they're going where I think they're going. Keeping Wonder Woman because she's so popular, keeping Aquaman because, again, popular. But that Aquaman movie, if you watch the Aquaman movie, right, and then you look at the Zack Snyder, the two just do not even gel with each other. I mean, Aquaman literally put Black Manta on the screen as he looks exactly in the comic books. They did it. They, you know, nobody thought they were going to go full-blown fucking Aquaman crazy-ass shit, and they did exactly that. They did the same thing in Shazam. In fact, they went even further in Shazam, in my opinion. But I love where DC are going with this, because DC are just like, fuck it. We've got the material. People have been taking the piss out of it for years. But the minute they put it on screen, everybody's lapping this shit up. And it's good. You know, the last three DC movies, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Shazam, they are fucking brilliant comic book popcorn movies. So
I need to see Aquaman. I need to see it. I haven't seen
Aquaman's
it yet.
Aquaman's brilliant. And this is why I'm looking at this trailer going, what is this? This is not even anything to do with the direction that DC seem to be going in. So I don't get it. And to me, you cannot do a Joker origin. You shouldn't do a Joker origin story. Gareth said this earlier, but you shouldn't do that.
I'll explain why you shouldn't do that.
But you can't do Joker without Batman. You can't.
All right, okay. This is my biggest bugbear about the entire film. Yeah. The Joker character is like, it's like Loki. Yeah. And I always like to picture the fact that the Joker, Batman has killed the Joker. Yeah, he's killed him like twice. He killed him twice, but the fucker came back. Yeah, and because the fucker came back, and what it is in Gotham, there's like a madness that infests the city, and then one person every so often gets infested with the madness and turns into the sodding Joker, and then you've got this person on the wire, and Batman has killed him off, thinking that's the way to do it. Because why doesn't Batman kill the Joker? Because if he kills the Joker and the Joker comes back, what's the point in killing him? Because you just can create another Joker. If he can pin him down and put him in one location, then he can neutralize him. But if he kills him, he'll crop up somewhere. Someone will have a bad day. And after that bad day, then they will turn into the Joker. And then you'll have another Joker who may be worse than the previous Joker. Does that make sense? It's all near supernatural kind of thing. You don't know how this happens, but it just keeps fucking happening. And that, I always liked that idea of the Joker, whether it's true or not. Yeah, it was just a much more interesting way of looking at him. And by giving him an origin story,
it doesn't work.
The only way they can fix it is that it starts off, he's being interviewed. He then explains his backstory. And then at the end of the interview, he turns around and goes, well, that's how I think it happened. Yeah, like he's made the whole fucking thing up. Because that would fit with the Joker. And I would understand that.
I agree with you. I just don't see how this movie fits in at all. I just don't. I mean, as I said, looking at what DC have been doing, and the fact that the heavy rumor is that the Batman will be following the detective comics, so he'll be doing more detecting than he will be gothic-y, Batman-y.
Isn't it Batman like Escape from Arkham or something?
No, it's rumored. So you look at Aquaman, a lot of the characters and everything and the way they presented Aquaman was early Aquaman. Uh-huh. They went full on cheese. Wonder Woman, again, they did the gods, they did Zeus and everything in that. And they just did it. They put that on screen, you know, even though they don't. And I think Batman is going, well, the rumour is he's going to be a detective, like when Batman first appeared in the 30s, 40s. No, God, it's even earlier than that, because he was 100 this year, wasn't he? Or something like that, ridiculous like that. But yes, Batman was in the detective, and that's the rumour of what they're doing. And it certainly fits with what they've been doing recently. Like, you know, putting on 40s characters and stuff that were uber cheese and doing it. And it somehow works. So again, I know I keep saying this. I don't get this film. I just don't. But I think you're right. We don't need a Joker origin story. I have a feeling this film will flop.
I don't. It might. The thing is, I look at it, and if we describe it as Clown Man the movie, it might be interesting.
It could be a good movie if it was kind of like a. It's the fact that it's connect. It's DC and it's set in Gotham and they're calling it the Joker. Now they could be slightly pulling the wool over our eyes.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it doesn't make sense. But that could be possibly on purpose.
Okay. All right. That's Nigel sent us a lovely story about the BAFTAs, and I've got an opinion on it. Keith's got an opinion on it. So
the gaming BAFTAs.
The gaming BAFTAs. Okay, Nigel, tell us about the gaming BAFTAs.
Well, quite a few people won stuff.
They tend to
at BAFTAs. So it's literally just happened. I say literally a few days back. You've got different categories. An artistic achievement award, which that's just got to be in there, really. Sort of token award. You've got audio, best game, British game, debut game, evolving game, family game, game design, etc.
We got the idea of categories. You sent through one about a specific game that was at the BAFTAs, if you remember.
So two games of note. One didn't win anything, one won quite a few. So you've got the one that won nothing, which is Red Dead Redemption 2. It was in quite a few categories to win, or nominated, and it didn't win a single one of them. Whereas something that's been out a bit longer, and actually was a fucking good game. I haven't finished it yet, and I need to. Sounds like a lot of my game experience. Was God of War. So God of War, it took the best narrative. It took the best music. Best performer, Jeremy Davis. He was the Stranger.
Didn't get to Christopher Judge.
Yeah, Jeremy Davis.
I loved Christopher Judge's Kratos in God of War.
In God of Boy.
Thanos, then.
Boy.
Boy.
Boy. Boy.
It was just the way they did certain things that I thought were really good, and I thought he did a good job.
I have an opinion on this.
Also got the best game and audio achievement. So there are other games in it. Fortnite won best evolving game. Fuck off. But British game.
You can't deny Fortnite's. As much as I might not like it, you can't deny its success, unfortunately. You
can't deny its success. Yes.
But you can't take the piss out of it.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was deleted from my PlayStation because I was fed up with hearing the kids whinging and whining about people hacking when they're not, and so forth, and getting angry at just playing a fucking game. I mean, you're angry at playing the game. Don't play it.
Kids shouldn't be playing this game. Kids shouldn't be playing this game. It's a drug, camouflaged.
The thing is that they are using mechanics that were developed from a gambling standpoint.
Yes, but it's not just that. It's the colours. It's the colours and the way the game is designed. It is purposefully targeted at kids. And there is some psychological studies that show this can and has it triggers the areas of the brain that are involved with addiction, the colours and everything. I truly think this game should be banned, but we live in a capitalist state, so unfortunately that'll never happen.
No, it should be banned. It should be age restricted.
Mm. Yeah, should be. Now, Fortnite, for example, I removed that from my PlayStation and I told the kids that it would never, ever be on my hard drive and it will never get played on this PlayStation again. However, I do have Apex Legends on there, which is similar, but in my opinion, a far superior game. And the kids at first, they started playing it, and they weren't great, but now they actually prefer it to Fortnite, and when they lose or die or whatever, you don't get the same fucking attitude as when that happens and they die in Fortnite. And if you ask them to stop playing Fortnite, my fucking God, it is like you say, it's like a drug. However, if I tell them not to, this is the last game of Apex, okay, that's the last game of Apex. And there's no fucking quarrel. I don't know what it is about this game, But like you said, it could be the colours, it could be the way it's...
The colours and the graphics. There are lots of people addicted to it. It's interesting because it also seems... People that have already had addictions, it seems to be triggering. This is going to sound stupid, but I follow Kevin Smith and his mate Jason Mewes, right? Now, Jason Mewes is a recovering addict.
Addict.
He is absolutely addicted to Fortnite. Mm. Utterly addicted. It's his new addiction. I mean, you see him streaming this all the fucking time. And there's, as I said, there's been a few studies on Fortnite that's quite interesting. I think it's evil.
I don't think it's evil.
I
don't think it's evil. I think it's what's the word? It's a ploy to get cash out of people.
Yes, I know, but that to me, anyway.
Oh hell yeah!
We could be sitting here and debating Fortnite for ages.
Yes.
I was going to say to you, Nige, was Red Redemption up for anything like on the technical level? Because to me, Red Redemption deserves an award for its sheer size and complexity.
So I can see it was up for audio achievement. Mm. It was nominated for audio achievement. It was obviously nominated for best game. It was up for best British game.
Because it's Rockstar.
It's Rockstar, isn't it? What else was there?
I mean, let's have a look at game design. I don't know about God of War. I haven't played it, but
no, not even
technically. And level of detail is in Redemption. Is that in God of War? I mean, the world of Red Redemption is huge.
Yeah, but the difference between that and God of War is that the God of War has a clear narrative path. I mean, a super clear narrative path in comparison to Red Dead Redemption, because you could just go, "I want to see my fucking horse's bollocks retract." Yeah, and then take it somewhere cold to see if they retract.
And it's true, they do. Can you imagine being the guy that had to program that?
I think we covered.
You'd
this
have
in
fun
the
with it, wouldn't you?
I think we covered this in the previous podcast. Look, right, when it comes to these two games,
it was up for best narrative. Just let you know, it was.
I think, telling a story wise, God of War did a really, really good job.
No, I don't. I think you have a point. I think both of these games, listening from what you said, have a place to have an award. But looking at the pure technical side of it, Red Redemption 2 is fucking impressive.
I'll tell you what, though.
That game will probably last you longer. Because you're saying that. Are you saying that there's a clear linear path through God of War?
It's got a clearer narrative story arc through it.
Let's face it. I mean, GTAs and Red Redemptions have never been known for their story. They are more about a game where you can literally get fucking lost in it for hours. You know, people like Nigel and you especially Nigel, who likes to do every fucking side mission possible before he even starts playing through the narrative, Spider-Man. But I get that, because I'm the same. So to me, Red Redemption 2, the sheer size and scale of that fucking game is why I won't play it, because I'd be lost in it for fucking days.
I wouldn't get anywhere in Red Dead. Literally, I'll probably not leave the first town that I'm in because I'm too busy looking around in every fucking house. Must see this.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's right. And the trouble is, he'll find stuff to do. So I can understand God of War winning a multitude of awards for music and stuff because, again, that they're not known for that. But this is why I don't know enough about the game BAFTAs. But on a technical basis, the sheer size and scale of Red Redemption deserves an award or some recognition for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay, all right.
So just to give you an idea of, for example, performers in the gaming. Right, performers. The nominees were Christopher Judge for Kratos in God of War, Danielle Bissetti as Freya in God of War, Jamie Davis as the Stranger in God of War. Then you had Melisandre Mahut.
Just spoil it, because he's not the Stranger. Yeah, he's Baldur.
He is Baldur, but
with his gate and everything.
That how he's known is the Stranger through most of the game.
It's a gate.
Then you've got Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan in Red Dead, and then Sonny Soljic as Atreus in God of War. So God of War performers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 out of the 6 nominees. So they were, well,
but again,
if you've not played it.
But again, I can understand that because based upon Gareth's description, you know, that God of War is that type of game where it has a story. So the acting in that, but again, GTA games and Red Redemption have never been known for their acting or stories. It's always about the sheer amount of gameplay.
There is a lot of gameplay in God of War. It's not linear.
Right.
It's linear to a point, and then you go off and do your own thing, and you can do a completionist thing, go round, complete all the things that's opened up to you before carrying on, or you can just carry on, if you see what I mean. And that's why it's taken me so long.
I've been trying to get around to say what I wanted to say, and I was going to say this. All right? Okay. So, God of War, right? Let's start off with the temporal part of it, yeah? God of War came out, what was it, like May or April last year?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that game came out then, did massive sales, yeah? Now, if you were doing the BAFTAs and stuff, you'd be trying to sort the awards out and stuff and get everything ready for about November-ish, yeah? Fucking Red Dead Redemption came out roughly the same time.
No, it didn't. It came out a while back before that because South Park were ripping the piss out of it.
It's November. I'm sure it was November.
I think it's early in that. Get Nige on it.
Oh, get you have Nige a check on it. Anyway, the long and short of it is they'd have had longer to go through God of War than they would have had to go through Red Dead Redemption. That's one thing. The next thing, too, is the God of the Red Dead Redemption. It's fashionable to shit on the popular kid. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then the other
October 26th.
When did it come out?
October 26th.
Ah, pretty close to November.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. And then the other part of it, too, is with Red Dead Redemption, they did the shitty multiplayer thing. Yeah?
Yep.
Where they were
but again,
selling shit.
Why did you start buying games like this for the multiplayer? I mean, is it because I've never played the GTA 5 multiplayer, and I know that
GTA 5 multiplayer is huge. It's making Rockstar ridiculous amounts of money.
One of the biggest multiplayer. GTA 5.
Okay, and then I can see why people might have caused a fuss about the Red Redemption one because they bought it for
because of the multiplayer. So
but that wouldn't be why I'd buy it.
Could have given you some. They could have given them some fallout from that. So I could imagine that's a like kind of because God of War went out of their way to say, no, we're not cramming multiplayer in there. No, we're not charging you microtransactions. We're just giving you a good game.
Which is what we like. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can see your argument. I think there's probably, if we went into it in depth, there's an argument for God of War winning most of the awards. If they don't have one again, excuse my ignorance here, if they don't have one for technical design or whatever, they should do. But if they do, and God of War won that, I think there's an argument there for Red Redemption. I can hear an argument against it for all of them, but I think the game deserves some recognition of some description or another. Because the technical side of
it. I think Spider-Man released in September should have got nominated at least for something.
Yes, no, I agree with you there. Yeah. All three. You won't get any argument of me from there. I love that game. Genuinely, I do.
Yes, and I made it. I've unlocked everything on Spider-Man.
Right. I want to point this out, right? I get here, he's going, I'm doing it on super difficult, right? And I went, oh, that's quite impressive. Then he showed me, right? And I sat down, and okay, took me a couple of goes to remember all the controls and everything, and I'm not as good a game player as Gareth. But because he's fucking unlocked everything, literally, every 5 seconds, you get a takedown, one move on all the baddies. So all you have to do is sit there, pretty much, everyone has pressed triangle, circle, bomb, he takes some fucking down. It's piss easy! It's easier than when you start the game on easy.
It's annoying because when I played the first playthrough, the max combo I got was about 350. I think the max combo I got in this is about 259. And
he literally has
Hunter.
Everything unlocked. So you fucking press your focus. He's got it in tune. In fairness, I'll give it to him. He's got it in tune. But now that he's got it in tune, He can just play through fucking super, super duper difficult level, and it's a piece of piss, Nige. So don't let him go, oh, look at how fucking good I am, because he's good at tuning it to how he can play it, but then all he has to do is go, take down, take down, take down, take down.
Use the gravity thing to take out the...
Yeah, yeah, oh, wow. Guys. Look, if I can master it in under 10 minutes and succeed...
True. It was.
It's, well, not fucking difficult, is
oh,
it?
Oh, dude, it's. I have got it on ultra hard, and it is that. But okay, when it comes to BAFTAs, I do think there's a bit of fallout because
no,
of the
you could look. You both make very good points, and you're both more knowledgeable on this than I am. But I, you know, from an outsider, I was seriously impressed with the level of detail in Red Redemption 2, and playing it on an Xbox One S X yesterday. With 4K, God, it looks good. God, does it look good? Really does.
Cool. I think he's just
full 4K, 4K graphics, the whole lot. Yeah, it's good.
I think he has as well. Yeah.
All right, Nige. Nice. Anything to say before I let him go on?
No,
to...
I'm done. I wasn't going to have a conversation.
You, Nige?
No. About Star, because you're going to say I'm going to moan about Star Trek Disco. I'm not. I'm just going to say I'm done. You want the conversation this week?
Oh, do we have to talk about it?
No, Nige. I tell you, after this episode, I am officially done. I am not watching it next week. I am fucking done.
I personally haven't seen a single episode. I've seen that first few minutes. Gaff showed me when he was over, and that's it. And I'm already done.
Nige.
And
Nige, it's gone. It's not even science fiction anymore, mate. It's science. It's fantasy fiction. It's fucking Hogwarts in space, with a bit of Lord of the Rings thrown in.
Oh, this is the funny
Expelliarmus.
Hang on a second. This is the funny thing. Is after the series finishes, J.K. Rowling will retcon Captain Pike as being gay.
Yeah, yeah. I've
so she does. She just retcons people to being gay.
Nice, right? I'm just going to give you this bit, right? You got one of the main characters who's been down to this planet where they've got time crystals, right? And he's been taken through by a mystery monk, right? This is the sheer amount of writing genius they come. He's walking across the bridge, and the monk character goes, "This is the pillar of the past." And then he walks to this next pillar. He's like, "This is the pillar of the present." I was really, really angry before this. Then I just started pissing myself laughing.
Do you know what I was expecting him to do? He goes, "Here is your special helmet and knapsack. Proceed into the dungeon."
"This is the pillar of the future."
And he should have turned around and goes, "Look, I've got this ring. I think this is Mount Doom. Am I supposed to chuck this in here? Or do we have to go to another volcano?"
Yeah, wrong show, Gavin. Wrong show. Oh, it's so shit. And it made me angry this week. It made me so... Oh! I'm done. Fuck off, Star Trek Disco. Seriously, fuck off. Alex Kurtzman, go bury yourself in a fucking toilet, you asshole. You are... It is science fiction. Science fiction. Not fantasy.
But the guys who do the production on it to make everything look the way it does,
yep.
Don't. I will not diss them because they have done an excellent job.
This show looks gorgeous. Yeah. Looks gorgeous.
But it's creatively bankrupt.
And Doug Jones, I love you. I do. I genuinely do. I wish you were on a sci-fi show that or Star Trek show that honoured your character. Anson Mount, again. You've done great job with thing. I just wish you weren't constantly being overruled by the matriarchy. Because let's face it, in this universe, Starfleet is a matriarchy.
Yeah, and that's why everything's gone to shit. The other one is I actually like Ethan Peck as Spock.
There is only one I have to say this because again at the beginning I was like, oh, Zachary Quinto, blah 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 blah. Ethan Peck's Spock is good, except that fucking beard.
Yeah, but that's genetics. He can't help that.
No, but he shouldn't have a beard.
I know he shouldn't have a beard, but they gave him a beard and their script called for him to have a beard. And he went, "Fair enough, I'll have a beard."
But actually, he is quite good at Spock. Martin has realised that she's playing a god-awful part and he's just not even trying anymore.
She's got a face a lamp with something hard. just to try. It's like kind of she looks like a cunt. Pardon my language. I would not tolerate that person.
I couldn't stand her in this episode. She was I hate this show, and I've been trying. I don't know if it's the Phantom Menace effect of wishing that this would improve. It's just slowly, and now this was the worst episode yet. Because there's no Star Trek thing. There's nothing Star Trek about
worst
this episode.
Episode ever.
Yeah, it is the worst episode ever. There's nothing Star Trek about it. There's nothing sci-fi about it. They beam down to a planet with fucking time crystals.
The Klingons have had time crystals.
We got this idea. What shall we call them? They're crystals that help you travel through time. I know. Time crystals. Yeah, that's it. We'll go with that. And, we've got the walking across the bridge. What should we call these pillars? Pillars of the past!
What got me, yeah, is this one thing I was brought up on a YouTube video. They were using the time crystals to grow a tree, so they're causing it to age quickly. Shouldn't it have aged the poor fucker's hand using it? Shouldn't he have gone, it turned to, like, ash and then him, like, kind
but
of
again,
dissolve?
There was nothing science about that. It was magic. It was, you know, he might as well have had a fucking wand and gone Expelliarmus.
And it looked like it was set at Hogwarts too.
Yes! When they were walking through, seriously, it was the corridors of fucking Hogwarts. It was Klingon Hogwarts. Seriously, I'm expecting next week Michael Burnham to discover the game of Quidditch and be the world champion inside 5 seconds. Because naturally, and Tilly will be close behind him. In fact, her, Tilly, and that fucking weird ginger bitch with the weird metal thing on her side will form, you know, the Starfleet Quidditch team. Because that's where this fucking thing is going. I'm done. We won't be covering this anymore. I am done.
Well, no, we will be covering it when we get the cancellation notes. Okay, all right. Are you sure?
Fucking time crystals. Pillars of the past.
What got me is they made Vok's son look like a fucking Minbari.
Without pink blood. Because, you know, Klingons are meant to have pink blood. Star Trek Discovery's forgotten that. The only thing of note, the only thing that I will give them, and it was a very tiny detail, is when you see that flash forward of Pike's thing and he's in the wheelchair weird fucking thing, it makes exactly the same noise as it did in the original episodes. And that was quite neat, except they missed the big fucking scar on his face and made his face melt instead, which was like, no.
To be honest with you, I saw that, I thought it was fucking Davros, and I thought they're going to cross over fucking Star Trek and Doctor Who, and then the whole thing would end in a giant singularity destroying everything.
The TARDIS appears, and out comes the female Doctor. I hate fathers and men. I'm joining the Starfleet matriarchy. I mean, even and that conversation between the lesbian and the fucking gay. Do you know what? I like the fact that, you know, I don't mind the fact that we've got homosexual couples, but it's the look at how progressive we are. It's the neon fucking signs above
them.
I
just like to point out, yeah, that lesbian and gay people, yeah, are mutual enemies. You think that they're supposed to get on, but because they're on completely polar opposite sides, they are mortal enemies, yeah?
That's not true.
I just love saying that. There is a logic behind it if you look at it. Come on.
You know, I don't mind the character, even though he was stolen from the Tardigrades game. I don't mind Anthony Rapp's character. As a character, he's interesting. And the relationship between him and the Doctor, I get it. I understand that. But it was the conversation where he's sitting there eating lunch with super-duper doctor fucking engineer woman who can't do anything wrong. It felt so forced where she mentions my wife and he's talking about his husband. It felt so forced. Yeah. Forced and false. It's just it's virtue slapping on the back. It's virtue signaling is the proper expression.
Quick,
for it.
Put up the virtue signal. Maybe Virtue Man might turn up. Virtue Man. Right. Okay. From my perspective, I watched it. It irritated the fuck out of me. Michael Burnham seems like an ungrateful cunt who needs to be spaced.
Couldn't put it better myself.
By Garibaldi. Yes. Yeah? And that's the biscuit, not the character from B5. Yeah, it's just a biscuit accidentally hits a control and she gets launched out into space by accident and dies. She looks so ungrateful and so fucking unhappy and whatnot. And then you've got the gay character. You've got Anthony Rapp, yeah, who he's given a bonus point because he's a genius, yeah? He's a genius person who's gay and irritated by everyone around him, yeah? You kind of understand that.
That kind of works. Yeah, that's always been his character.
But then you've got his husband, yeah, who's a gay character and is irritating because now he's just irritating. Then you've got the Jet Reno character, who's a lesbian character, who's just irritating.
No, but the thing that bothers me about her is because she's a woman and they can't fail at anything.
Hang on a second. And then you've got Tilly, yeah? Who's a retard.
Well, she's not.
Who's irritating. No, she's retarded.
No, she's...
No, they're, if you look very carefully, they're all just amusing her because she's the dribbling moron who's licking the window at the back of the Enterprise.
She comes up with the clever fixes.
No, she doesn't come up with clever fixes. Burnham comes up with the clever fixes and then turns around and goes, well done, Tilly. I would have never thought of that.
Are you like, hey, Jane, gang, Jane, then good boy.
Yeah. And it's a ship full of idiots. I've come to the conclusion that the three of us could crew the Discovery and do more good in that universe than that entire crew. That would be... Because the thing is, we'd be... Doug Jones's character is good, and as I said, the other characters are good. But seriously, the three of us could crew the fucking Discovery, and they could write a series around three imbeciles being in charge of a fucking state-of-the-art warship, yeah? Arguing over who gets to sit in the captain's chair.
And one more...
And naturally, Nigel would think he gets to sit in the captain's chair because he's Captain Birdseye.
One more thing to Discovery writers before we depart. Section 31 is a super... fucking secret organization. So the fact that every fucker knows about them doesn't mean it's secret.
Just on another note, Nigel, can I ask you to sit back for a moment in your chair? Is he dressed up like the Master from Doctor Who?
Oh.
He looks like the Master, as in the last time we saw Bortzi's mission as the Master.
He does a little bit. If he tweezes up his fucking moustache.
Who, yeah. John Hurt?
Not John Hurt.
John Hurt, that was the Doctor.
That was a war doctor.
You. We're talking about, don't you insult me.
Oh, what was his name? He was in Life on Mars.
John Sims,
thank you very much. As the Master in the last episode, when he wore his kind of top.
He is wearing black and looking slightly sinister. If he suddenly has a James Bond style white cat jump on his lap...
All right, you two motherfuckers, watch The Tick. I'm assuming you watched. Did you watch an episode?
He hasn't watched The Tick. He just knows about it.
Oh, okay.
I just know about it.
So I have seen fucking 7 episodes of this so far already, and there's only 3 more. Do you want me to spoil it at all, or am I not allowed to say anything about it because you two fuckers haven't watched it?
I don't know.
Because some shit happens.
Is it good shit?
It's good shit. I've enjoyed it. It's... Because we the last episode ended with the Aegis, the superhero organization thing from the government, sending out all those drones, and Aegis is now set up in the city. They're back. The Tick and Arthur sign up to them because they have amazing croissants with nanite butter, which is really funny.
Nanite.
I know, but it is quite funny. They have to go through all this bureaucratic crap to sign up to them because it's a government agency. So they've got like a stack of forms that they have to fill out. That's quite funny. But there's some quite interesting twists.
Okay.
So there's one involving Arthur's sister. There's one involving Arthur's stepdad, which we kind of suspected.
Yeah.
And that only just happened in the last episode, actually. It's far more wacky.
Yeah.
Than the last one. It's far more sort of 50s superhero-esque mixed with, you know, other things. Kind of like it's got an Incredibles vibe. It's got all sorts of things. I've enjoyed it so far. There's an interesting thing in the first episode where I don't know if this was just so they could change the design of the suit, but he molts and his suit is now like it's like that skin tight sort of material that you use for the Superman suit, but all blue. But he doesn't have the kind of like plating that he had. I don't know if that is something or not. They keep making hints that, like in-house hints of who he is, but you don't understand them. But they keep hinting And it so I don't know if we're going to get more of who the ticket is or his origin. But so far we haven't had any big bad. They keep hinting at a big bad called the Duke, who kill.
Hang on, are you talking about the Nissan Duke? The car?
No, he's called the Duke because you have the Terror. Now we've got the Duke, who makes technology that hacks human brains into doing whatever he wants. So he's got humans as lampshades and things like that.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird. But we haven't seen the Duke yet. Who was the guy that hangs out with the sister, the one on the boat? Kill something. The one that the tick makes not kill anyone. I can't remember.
God, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, the one with the bionic eyes. Anyway, he was meant to have killed the Duke, but it now looks like he hasn't, although there could be another super secret twist.
Yeah.
It's gone so quickly because you say, oh, what, you've watched 7 episodes. They're like 20 minutes long. So it's not like I've watched a huge amount.
Yeah, I think they're about 20, 25 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, and Superion's lost it. Like, he's
so
gone.
Yeah, I want to see it, and I'm hoping to maybe catch up in the next few days.
It's worth it. It's as good as the first series. It's pretty good.
Have you watched any more of Love, Death and Robots?
Yes.
Which ones have you seen?
Which ones have I seen? The ones you told me to. One I haven't seen is the Russian one.
The Russian one?
The Russians fighting.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
one. Have you seen Lucky 13?
Yes.
That's a good one. Have you seen any Love, Death and Robots?
No.
On Netflix?
No.
Okay.
There you go.
Love, Death and Robots. You need to go and watch some Love, Death and Robots. It's good. It really is.
I keep seeing... When I do... On the odd occasion, get into Netflix. I see the thing and I watch the trailers and I go, my God, what the hell is this?
I've got something. I'll make him watch it. Nice. It's got boobies in it. Nice boobies. Good boobies.
Watch Beyond the Aquila Rift. That one, as I said last week, got under my fucking skin.
So boobies.
It's got digital boobies. Really good animated. World class.
Good. Boobies. Bouncy boobies. Nice.
Okay.
World class digital boobs. Yes. Okay.
World class. Nice. World class.
What's it? Did you watch one with Hitler in alternate history?
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's funny.
It's like, I love the way they always mark the ending of the sequence off by when we got to the moon.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of Vladimir Putin lands on the moon, 1988.
Yes, the Vladimir Putin joke I thought you would like. Yes, the Hitler one I saw. The one about the mini-universe in the freezer, which is just fucking odd. Mm. And it has real people in it.
Yes.
That was quite good.
What was the other one? The Helping Hand, have you seen that one?
Yes.
I had trouble watching that one.
Mm.
Seeing someone, that was the bit I was like, it's a bit fucking grim. Mm. All right, I'll tell you quick. There's one called Helping Hand. Yeah, it's about an astronaut who has to go up on her own to fix something. And then due to an accident, she gets kind of blown away from, like, the space station. She has to get her way back. And she winds up losing her arm. And she loses her arm by venting it into space so it kind of freezes off. And then she snaps the fucking thing off. And, yeah, that's...
It kind of reminded me a bit of Gravity.
That's how Gravity should have gone. Could you imagine Sandra Bullock snapping a frozen arm off?
But she does. She makes it in the end, which is, this is kind of a happy ending.
Yeah. And if it was an expansion universe, they could just grow an arm back. So
yeah.
Still make you wince, though.
Please, one note with you just mentioned. Amazon, do not SJW The Expanse. Please.
No, they don't need to. The Expanse is quite progressive in the right way of being progressive, as in kind of wants to show like the international kind of the world colonized space rather than say the US, which I appreciate. But going back to Love, Death and Robots, what was the robot one, the one with the helping hands?
What's the yogurt one? Nice.
The yogurt one. The yogurt one's funny. Yeah, the yogurt one, the sentient yogurt where it tries to guide humanity to...
If you watch the yogurt one and the Hitler one, that'll ease you in. The Hitler one is just funny.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll try and have a look.
Again,
yeah.
That's got boobies in it as well. Nice.
Oh God! Yeah, with the people from the extra dimension, yeah. The sex dimension,
the
or whatever.
Sex dimension.
Yes.
That made me laugh.
I love the one where something happens and the world gets wiped out, and then like some other creature evolves, and it like kind of goes, the what's it lands on the moon? He goes, 1,455,600 something years from now. that was quite good. And then it comes, collapses, because it's like kind of this program doesn't work.
There is something, because we're talking about Netflix and stuff, there is something that me and Nigel talked about next week. There has been some news this week, and I do not know what to make of it, because I'm kind of, in one respect, interested, but in the other, so Afterlife has got a second series. It's been commissioned for a second series, and I don't know how that's going to work. Nigel, you've seen it.
Which one?
Afterlife, Ricky Gervais's thing, has got a second series.
Oh, yes. Has it?
Yes.
That's weird.
Netflix announced this week they've commissioned it for a second series. Ricky Gervais has said he's writing it. I'm like... because it's so good. I don't see how it can get a second series and not be ruined.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a one-off. I quite liked it being a one-off. We'll see. Ricky's not that bad at this stuff, is he? So hold faith, I would say.
Yeah. Do you think in Hollywood they sit around like have dinner and stuff and go, I've just got myself a Netflix series, like a Porsche? kind of Martin Scorsese goes, I've got myself a Netflix series.
And the other rumour that's going around is that YouTube have cancelled all of their shows. But I don't understand that because...
No.
Cobra Kai is doing...
second series of that, yeah.
Yeah, and Cobra Kai is good and is being watched by people. But the heavy rumour is that Origin's been cancelled, which is like, no! I actually liked that.
I wanted to find out what the fuck was down on that planet.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. But, yes, anyway, so that's the news from this
week. Oh, thanks for putting us on a sour note, and I think that's where we'll fucking end it. And on that atomic bombshell that just happened to destroy all life on Earth.
We get to talk about Shazam after this.
Yes, yeah. I know, we'll get to a Shazam special. Hold your beans. Nige.
Shazam, motherfucker.
Because you're going to fuck off and have some grub. I think it's time we say goodbye.
I am, yes, that's very true. So, goodbye.
Bye-bye.